Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, and this is Get Fit Louisville.
We were designed to run. Let us talk to you a little bit more about what you're trying to accomplish and how you can best get there. That's the thing. That's why VO2 is here.
Welcome to Get Fit Louisville. Whether it's biking, running, or swimming, Jeff and Angie can help you get the most out of each breath. Listen up, Louisville. It's time to get fit.
Welcome back, and oh, what a week. Jeff, haven't seen you since pre-Derby, so how was your Derby?
Derby was good. Worked a lot.
You did.
Believe it or not, you know, not everybody goes to Derby, as they would make you believe in this town, but yeah, it was good. Actually, I actually took the day off, so
good
that
for
was
you.
My first day off in a long time. I worked in the garden. I was probably more sore on Sunday from working in the garden than running or riding, just from being in a different position, planting vegetables and all that fun stuff. But it was a good Derby. They were very busy at the shop, and I checked in on them from time to time. But it was nice to actually have a day off, grill out, and hang out with the family a little bit.
Well, I've worked in the media for 10 years, and used to do Churchill Downs pink and red carpets on Oaks and Derby for the past 6 years. This is the first year that the only hat that I put on my head was the ball cap to go with my overalls. Stayed nice. Over in southern Indiana with my fiance and the four dogs, and had a friend come down. And I'll tell you, we started a new Derby tradition of doing nothing.
It's nice
to
relax.
Wonderful.
It's very nice, and I can attest to that. It was like the first time I've really never done a whole lot on Derby.
Right.
But it was nice because I think we spent so much time here in the town with the hype and building it up that, you know, it's nice just to take a break.
It definitely is, and it's interesting to see how large it's becoming on a national, international scale. And really, I appreciate Churchill Downs and all that it has to offer on the days when everybody hasn't come here from, you know, all over the world even more. You know, it's a little more special then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Well, let's start because I know there's an event that you're excited about.
Let's check the fitness activity calendar.
Yeah, this week it's a big week for us at the store. We've got TriFest. We started a triathlon series race a few years ago with Head First Performance with Todd Hetty and Cynthia Hetty, and it's out at Taylorsville Lake. It's kind of the first big triathlon for the season around here. It's a series of three races. Mm-hmm. We have a sprint race for a lot of beginners and even the new people that have been around for a long time. That's kind of their distance. That's what they enjoy. And then it's followed about 2 hours later with an Olympic distance race. And then on Sunday, they have a half Ironman distance. And so basically what you have, you can do all three of them if you would like, or you can do one or two. They'll have an aqua bike. So there's a lot of different options out there. But a lot of people do all three races. It's pretty rough at the end of the day when you go do the first two, because those are what they call – that's where you really race, where you just go. Those two distances, the sprint and the Olympic distance, are just all out, all you've got. And then you basically go home for the evening. You get up the next morning, you're a little tired, a little sore. And then you do a half iron distance, which half iron distance is a 1.2-mile swim, 56-mile bike, and a 13-point-mile run. So it definitely is a test of, I guess it's just a test of your will to see what you have.
Wow.
At the end of the day. But it's a great time. We have a lot of fun with it. We usually have 250 to 300 competitors overall.
Excellent.
It's enjoyable. We're busy around the shop taking care of people right now. We've got registration at the shop tomorrow, which and they can also do packet pickup at the shop at VO2 or at the event on Saturday. So we're definitely looking forward to getting this going. And it's always a fun time for everybody.
It sounds like it. Mm-hmm. If you're a rookie, I mean, just lay that out. What's the distance that you would want to?
Basically, if this is your first, here's what we see a lot. This is the first open water swim for most people this year.
Okay.
So they'll get in Taylorsville Lake to swim. Now, it's only a 400-meter swim. However, you know, we've had a nice week. It's really warm. The water's warmed up a little bit, but it is going to be a wetsuit legal race, so you can wear your wetsuit. But basically, it's a 400-meter swim, 12-mile bike, and a 5K run,
okay.
Which is more of your sprint distance. That's a great just If you've never done one before, it's a great opportunity to get into one. You're going to be done in, you know, an hour, hour and a half racing. And then 2 hours later, if you wanted to do the Olympic distance, that's a 0.9-mile swim, roughly a 25-mile bike, and roughly a 10K. So next step up, and then Sunday's the bigger step. So all in all, that's a lot of racing. And typically, you're not as sore after a half iron distance as you are like a sprint or an Olympic, because you really can go all out in one of those. So, because, you know, Olympic distances, people start finishing. You see some of the really good people, they're in that riding that 2 hour time range, and then mm-hmm. it'll go all the way to about 3.5 hours for people to finish. So, yeah, it's a good time.
Okay. Well, again, you said registration and packet pickup at VO2 Multisport, and that's at 131 St. Matthews Avenue. Right here in Louisville.
Right here in Louisville.
You ready to start talking?
I'm ready.
Topic of the week.
So this week we're going to be talking about what to expect from a retailer, and you have a reason why you wanted that to be this topic.
Yeah, you know, I did. And here recently, and I think as the season's picked up, you know, more and more customers are coming into the store, and I had a different topic picked for today, but actually yesterday afternoon at about 5 o'clock, around 5 o'clock, I was getting ready to go home actually for the day, and the shop closes at 6. And a young lady came in, and one of my other associates there was working with her, and I was kind of, you know, working with somebody else, and they had left, and my associate came over and asked me a question, and I kind of helped, you know, take over, and she was looking at buying a bike. And so I went through kind of the whole process of buying a bike, what you're looking for, what's your price point, you know, all the stuff that we normally talk about. And she looked at me with this it was very strange. She looked at me with this biggest smile on her face, and she said, "I've already made my mind up. I'm buying a bike here." And I'm like, "Well, why here?" I said, "Have you been to other places?" She goes, "I've been to a couple other places." And she said, "Honestly, I'm a beginner." And she goes, I don't know a lot about it." And she said, "You all made me feel comfortable." She goes, "I feel comfortable." She goes, "Your associate that worked with me made me feel comfortable. You've made me feel very comfortable." And she goes, "The other places I went," she goes, "I felt like I didn't really know what I was doing or what I was buying. Therefore, they really didn't want to work with me. It was like I was a nuisance to them." And it really kind of dawned on me, I think, as being a small business owner, mm-hmm. You know, kind of what our role is in the community with the products that we provide for people. So that's really what I wanted to talk about, is just, you know, a little bit about, you know, what to expect from your retailer, what you should look for in a small business retailer.
You know, we talk sometimes, I mean, just the realm of fitness, and we've talked about gyms. So, I mean, you can go anywhere you want to mm-hmm. with this right now, but it's the same thing when you hear people who walk into a gym, and very often they'll feel just so inadequate, mm-hmm. or if they're not in the physical shape that they feel like they're supposed to be, if they're not treated, you know, with open arms, right. It's not only a turnoff, but I mean, it's hurtful.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, one of the things like I encourage, like, mm-hmm. You know, we usually have a meeting once a week. I try to express points. Look, I'll be the first to say, do we get it wrong sometimes? Sure, we
sure.
do. Do we make mistakes? Are there days when I'm, you know, at the beginning of the month when I'm writing out invoices and checks to everybody, is that a stressful day?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And
right.
so somebody comes in and they catch you at the wrong time, and maybe I don't come across as likable as on, you know, a day that somebody came in and spent $20,000 on product, mm-hmm. you know. I think, though, what you have to always do is always have to check yourself as a business owner, and you always have to look at what you're doing and what you're providing. And the biggest thing is, and I tell people, there's no such thing as bottom-up. It does not work that way. There's no bottom-up business. It's really from top-down. And at the end of the day, the buck stops with me. And, you know, for me, I have to, you know, be on point a little bit more mm-hmm. than some other people, because a lot of people like to come in and they like to deal with the owner, or they want to see me, or and I've tried to, you know, encourage, you know, people that come in, or I really try to get my other associates involved there at the store and work with them, so people feel comfortable working with them, and not just me, because obviously I'm going to have my good days, my bad days, or I'm not
sure.
always going to be there. But I think that one of the things that, you know, it's lost mm-hmm. in this society. People can go to big boxes all day long. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about that. You can go to Targets, you can go to Dick's, you can go, and I'm not picking on them, but you can go to those places. And, you know, is the customer service, I think that's what's lost. We don't have the customer service anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're dealing with when you're first getting into a something, whether it's going to the gym or whether it's swimming, biking, or running, or hiking, or kayaking, or whatever you have chosen to do, I think it's very important that you go to a place that knows and understands the product. And that starts from the top down. So mm-hmm. I think one of the things to look for is in a small business is definitely an engaged owner, because you know if an owner is not really engaged, you know the people there that work for them aren't going to be as engaged either, and they're going to let things slide and things fall through the cracks. So I think that's one of the things to look for is definitely look for an owner who's engaged in their business, and also engaged in the community outreach, you know, things that they can do, whether it's sponsoring events or things of that nature. I think it's very important. If you go to a place you never see the owner, you know, or they're in a small retail and they're just kind of tucked away somewhere and they're just kind of, I don't want to say hiding, but they're just not out front. I think you'll feel that. There's definitely a difference because I know some other small business owners, and the ones that are out front that I see a lot, I go in and visit more because it's nice to see them. You know, I mean, they're the people that you're trusting that they're going to provide you with a good product. So I think it's one of the areas to definitely look for.
We talk very often about, elite athletes and people who are veterans to doing all the different kinds of activities we talk about. But what do you do at VO2 in particular? Because I'm always pushing that, you know, I mean, adults are just like kids when it comes to learning a new activity. None of us want to feel stupid.
Right.
So what do you do when those people, like the woman who is a beginner, when they walk in the door? I mean, what are some of the ways that you make sure they know it's okay?
Right.
You know, we're here to help you.
You know, a lot, and I've had that asked, you know, before, and I've had a lot of people say they feel comfortable and, you know, with dealing with this. And I think we just have all walks of life in the store. You know, I don't have, I mean, at the store, I mean, you know, the people that work there, we're all involved in different things. I mean, we've got, you know, elite runners who've qualified for Boston, and we've got, you know, coaches that have coached for Carmichael and you know, our cycling coaches. We've got, you know, people that are, elite swimmers. We've got a little bit of everything there, but we also have just people that are enthusiasts. And I think that's maybe one of the things that we do a little bit different is we have enthusiasts there. But I always put myself right in the mix of the cell. I mean, listen, I love doing this. I mean, I really enjoy that. And I think people pick up on that. However, I'm the first to, you know, tell people, you know, it didn't just happen overnight. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes time, it takes effort and energy. But the other thing that we do is we go the extra mile in the sense that, you know, we organize bike rides, we have ladies only rides, we have ladies nights, we have yoga, we have a lot of things. So to us, it's a community, and I try to stress that it's not just about the product. Look, you can go get the product anywhere. You can buy it on eBay, you can buy it on Amazon, you can choose to shop anywhere you want to. You know, so you don't have to get everything from just one location. What they don't have is they don't have that community. And I think that's one of the other things that, you know, it's important to look forward in a small business is just that sense of community. You know, how are they engaging you? How are they getting you involved? And that's what we try to do is we try to reach out in a bigger and a broader picture than just that bike you just bought or just those pair of running shoes that you just purchased. We try to get you more involved and try to be encouraging in every step of the way.
What's the best way to handle something if you go to a shop and you don't have that pleasant experience? I mean, how would you recommend someone handles that?
You know, I think there's a couple ways. I had a gentleman last week that came back in the shop, and, you know, he kind of pulled me aside, and he was a little abrasive. Now, that you can do one of two things with that. You can listen to what they have to say, or you can get defensive. And there's those times when it depends on what kind of mood you're in, how you're going to react to them. My encouragement to anybody, if they go into a place and they feel a little out of sorts, or maybe they felt a little shunned or things of that nature, is don't hesitate to pick up the phone. And it's not you're calling back to complain, but just to put yourself in the owner's shoes. That's the first thing I tell people. Put yourself in the owner's shoes, okay? And that's hard to do if you never own small business because those are some many hats and many different pair of shoes, let's just say. You're doing everything. And you don't want to come across as mean or angry, but you want to say to them, hey, I just want to express a concern that I had or something that I saw or something that I noticed. And I, if it were maybe somebody you were with or it was yourself that just had a bad experience, any owner that's worth their salt is going to take that advice. Now, was I you know, happy when he came back in and kind of told me what had happened. And and I couldn't recall. It wasn't necessarily with me because I don't remember the – he was coming in for a friend of his. And he had been, basically recommending people to the store. And I think one of the people he recommended had a just had a good experience with what she had, but nobody helped her out with her bike. Now, is that a service we normally provide? We usually, if we're not real busy, we try to take people's bikes out to their car. We try to go out to the car and bring their, if they have a repair, we try to bring it in. Sometimes we don't always get that done, and some people come to expect it. Mm-hmm. So when it doesn't happen, I think it, for him, the lady that was there, I think she was a little shocked by it, and that falls on us. And so at the end of the day, like I said, I'm an engaged owner, and the buck stops with me, so... He was a little abrasive, and it caught me off guard a little bit. I had to kind of stop and gather myself a little bit, just to hear what he's saying. But, I stressed to my employees after that. We have a lot of repairs come through there.
Right.
Each person is just as important as the other person. Mm-hmm. We can't take we just because some person spends $50 on a repair versus somebody who spends $500, we don't treat them any differently. Doesn't matter. For me, I needed to hear that, and I think it was good for me to hear that. You don't always like hearing that stuff.
Sure.
but I think that's what you can do with any place that you feel. If you don't tell somebody, mm-hmm. You're just going to pass on that same treatment to the next person. Mm-hmm. That's basically what you're going to do.
Very often, I think people just want to be heard, mm-hmm. And just share that experience. Mm-hmm. And I always say when it comes to criticism, at least people take the time.
Right. Absolutely.
Whether it's warranted or not, at mm-hmm. least they're taking the time, because that essentially means they care enough about what
right.
you're doing
right.
that it bothered them.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's what people forget a lot. He even said to me, I like referring people here. I just don't want to refer people to a bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
I understand exactly what he's saying, because I wouldn't want to refer somebody to a
sure.
bad experience.
No way.
Because at the end of the day, then I look like the goofball if I referred somebody. Mm-hmm. And they had a bad experience. So I took it to heart, listened to what he had to say, and we addressed those issues, and hopefully it doesn't happen again.
Do you give places where you've had a bad experience a second chance if you have not addressed it with the owner or a manager?
I do, because I think, at some point you realize, that we all make mistakes, mm-hmm. and everybody, no one's perfect. No business is perfect. Good Lord, no business is perfect. You see enough issues, it's like, I guarantee you there's still people shopping at Target even after the debacle with the debit and credit cards.
Absolutely.
So we're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do with those mistakes that, basically are the definition of our character, mm-hmm. and who the shop is as a shop owner, whether it's big company, small company. And I think what you have to do is look at the big picture, realize that maybe you had a bad experience, and it's worth going back.
Right.
There's one restaurant I love going to in St. Matthews. I love going to Havana Rumba. Great, great food. I had one bad experience there, and I was very frustrated. Then when I looked at the big picture, I'm like, well, I went in. They were jam-packed. They could have been understaffed.
Yeah.
The restaurant business is notorious for, people don't show up.
Yeah.
That I would be foolish, because their food is phenomenal. It's really good food. And so I was like, well, I've been there 30 times, and right. I had one bad experience, and so I can't, there's no way I can pass judgment upon them and say, well, that's just how it always is, because
yeah.
that's not the case. So I think with any small business or any business, I think it's worth a second look. If you start having more than one or two bad experiences, then that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think every small business or even business deserves a second chance, most definitely.
Every week you bring in something new for us. I can't wait to see what you have this week.
Product Spotlight.
What we have this week is a product from Amphipod. It's a fuel belt. Now, we all know that it went from, 1670 degrees to 90 degrees over
yes.
the past couple days, and we have a lot of runners out there.
Yes.
One of the main things that you need to do is stay hydrated on your runs.
Absolutely.
It's very easy to get dehydrated in this temperature. I'll give you an example. I went for a bike ride. About 4 years ago, and it was the first really hot day of the year, and it was like 85 or 90, and I'd been riding my trainer indoors and all that fun stuff, and I decided that, I'd been out on the road, but not in the real heat of the day, so I had to go on like a 75-mile bike ride, and I left the house. I took in 108 ounces of water on the bike ride, and I still lost 10 pounds.
Wow.
If that goes to show you what kind of sweat loss ratio you can have, some people are heavier sweaters, some people sweat less, I sweat a little heavier. That was on a bike ride. Now, you usually carry all your hydration, your bottles on your bike, and I was refilling them and all that kind of fun stuff. Runners, the same thing. You're out running. If you're in the park, maybe you'll pass by the fountains enough. Mm-hmm. But if you're not out in the park and there's no place to get water, I think one of the most important things you can do is have a hydration belt. It goes around your waist. Water bottles set in it. They're small, like 10 to 12-ounce water bottles. You can pull them out, drink the water on your run, just to get some fluids back in you. Because the last thing you want to do is dehydrate, overheat, pass out, hit your head, and you know end up in the hospital or cramp and not be able to make it back home easily. Yikes. So hydration belts are very simple. They have two bottles. They have four bottles. Some of them have pockets on them. You can. Some of them have gel loops. You can put gels on them. It's just a very simple product for runners. Cyclists, I see sometimes, like they said, they have water on their bike. Mountain bikers, however, you know, they don't pass by a lot of water fountains. They're in the woods. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they wear backpacks when it's really hot to get the hydration in. They can hold, you know, 1.5 to 2 liters of water. But if you're out and you're running, definitely look into hydration belts. Fuel Belt makes them. Amphipod makes them. Nathan makes them. There's a whole list of companies out there who do different products, and they all have their own like unique uniqueness, I guess you could say. So
this one that you've brought from Amphipod also has what I will term a fanny pack,
yes,
a built-in fanny pack.
Fanny packs are coming back.
I don't care what anyone says. I have friends who will not walk or run with me in 5Ks because I always wear a fanny pack, and it's a Jan
they're,
sport.
They're coming back.
Fanny it's packs from, I mean, I think it probably might be from when fanny packs were in.
It was,
and I'm very proud of that. It's like a navy blue, but there's a front pocket on it that I put dog treats in, and one day one of the dogs actually ate through the front pocket. So I might need to pick that up. It's time for a new fanny pack. That is outstanding. Okay, and of course, people can always get that at VO2 Multisport.
Absolutely.
I love it. Well, are you ready to talk about the topic a lot of bikers are buzzing about?
Absolutely.
Let's dish.
Okay, well, the League of American Bicyclists, which has been around since 1880, came out with their 2014 bike-friendly state rankings. Once again, Kentucky ranks near the bottom at 48th for friendliness, and Indiana ranks 37th. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing about that?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, I see a lot of cyclists on a daily basis, and, you know, we put that out on our Twitter and our Facebook just to kind of get some feedback. And, you know, I get to hear them in the shop, and then I also get to see them through social media, some of the issues. And, you know, we're definitely behind. Are we trying to catch up? Sure. Are we, you know, does it seem like we're fighting it at every corner to catch up? Absolutely. You know, our infrastructure wasn't originally designed. We never had that in mind. And we're just now starting to take that into consideration. So, you know, sometimes when they widen roads, they put in a bike lane. And sometimes they don't. And I think it's a mindset. It's extremely difficult for people who don't do this stuff day in and day out to, you know, to understand that, you know, cyclists do have, you know, the right of way on the roads. But they are treated like a vehicle. You know, there's a lady, and it was in the recently in the news, who's commuting down Highway 127 to work because she can't afford a car to get to work. And she rides like 20 miles each way. She's lost like 100 pounds. Now, Highway 127 over in the central part of the state is an extremely busy piece of road. She's been cited a few times for reckless driving by the police because she's holding up traffic. So there's...
Wait. Is that leak? I mean... What?
Yeah, absolutely.
Reckless driving?
Because she's holding up. It would be like, you know how when you get on the interstate, you have a minimum
speed? Yes. Okay.
I mean, obviously, okay, she can't go fast enough on 127.
Yeah.
It is, I don't know if they considered it, it's not a limited access road because there's access everywhere.
Right.
It is a four lane with a median. Does it hold up traffic? I'm sure it does. Does she have the right to go to work? Absolutely. To provide for her family? Sure. So it's definitely something that's become a very hot topic. There's been, you know, they've it's in the court systems right now over there. I think it might be in the Danville area.
Okay. I have to look this up.
This I can't remember because I've seen it a couple of times, but it was been a few weeks in my memory. I'm getting older.
I mean, how else is she supposed to get to work?
Exactly. That's my argument is how else is she supposed to get to work? It's not necessarily fair to her. does it create a situation where it's a safety issue? Mm-hmm. Well, you can say it does all day long, but I can promise you there's more people out there texting and driving that create a bigger safety issue than she's creating.
This is gross, but on the way to work today, the woman behind me was not only texting, but picking her nose.
Yeah.
I was like, lady, yeah, what are you that? Driving right. with? Your knee?
Exactly.
Like, oh.
Exactly. So it's there. I think people are just trying to find they're just wanting to make excuses to, in my personal opinion, to railroad cyclists because they really are they seem angry. You know, a friend of mine who rides for Texas Roadhouse, he was two hit and runs last year. He was, you know, sideswiped by a driver and they just drove off. So I've had a lot of friends of mine this past year. You know, one of them was in Ohio. I've got her bike in the shop right now. She was hit on her bike. She was going to or in a race. And then another gentleman who's a sales rep who comes in our shop all the time was hit up in Indianapolis and is in rehab. And they didn't know if he was going to live or not. It was really bad.
Wow.
So, you know, cyclist versus motor vehicle, the cyclist is never going to win, you know. I've seen a lot of arguments out there, people fighting, you know, cyclists fighting with motors fighting with cyclists, or all yelling at one another. And it really boils down to a mindset. It's changing a mindset. Mm-hmm. Now, are we trying to do things in Louisville? I think we're trying. I think our infrastructure is just not truly set up to be cycling friendly right now. And I think it's going to take years, definitely take years to do that.
Tell me this. Somebody posted on Facebook the other day after this came out, said something like she wished that the state of Kentucky would lobby against allowing cyclists to ride on busy areas during rush hour, for instance, River Road. Mm-hmm. And apparently there was just a couple of bikers, and then here's everybody trying to get home from work, and, you know, River Road is one lane this way, one lane that way, and it was holding up traffic. Mm-hmm. So, one, maybe the bikers are also part of that commute home. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how do you please everybody?
You don't. That's the, you know, my dad used to always tell me, if you straddle the fence, you get splinters in your butt. So, you know, pleasing everybody is impossible.
Yeah.
You know, the cyclists have a right. They have a right to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, you know, somebody on a motorcycle has a right to be there. Just like somebody in a car has a right to be there. The issue, in all honesty, is we're all in a hurry.
Yeah.
I mean, if we just slow down a little bit, we don't have to be in a hurry to get from A to B. Now, look, I get it. Maybe you've got to get home and you've got to get your kid picked up. You got to take them to practice. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to get the grocery. You got to get dinner cooked. We all have those. None of us are, you know, I guess privy to not going through those things. You know, if you're frustrated because you're held up on River Road, well, guess what? You find a new way home. I mean, that's the way I look at it. If I'm going down the same stretch of road and I've noticed that traffic backs up more, and maybe that road is just there's more cyclists on that stretch of road. Well, I can take it upon myself to find another way that maybe I don't get held up as much. Instead of going by and buzzing the cyclist or flipping them off or yelling at them, why I can be the bigger person, you know, and I can find ways around, you know, that situation. I've had a lot of close calls on the bike that, you know, it's like you almost want to put your road bike up. You almost want to quit. Like, you know what? I just don't want to end up dead. I don't want to have a broken collarbone. I don't want to wreck. And it's becoming a very stressful situation, I think, in this city because we are growing in the cycling arena. Mm-hmm. By leaps and bounds. However, we don't have this infrastructure to support those growths. And so I think you're always going to have some tension there between the motorists and the cyclists that I don't think is going to go anywhere anytime soon.
I'm not a biker yet, but how pleasant of an experience is it biking home when you have to contend with all of, I'm not saying everyone is that way, but that negativity, that fear of somebody who is going to buzz by you or intentionally try to sideswipe you or even accidentally. I mean, how is that pleasant?
Well, you know, it's a legitimate fear. I think every cyclist has that fear.
Sure.
You know, you know, it's just like a friend of mine broke her collarbone this year because a bulldog ran out of somebody's yard and literally headbutted her wheel in the process of trying to stop, and she flipped over, hit her, shoulder, broke her collarbone.
Oh.
And I remember asking her, you know, I said, you know, I'm obviously not how did you feel, because I understand that you broke a bone, but you know, what was that like for you? And her response was golden, and you have to have the right, either just the right attitude. She had the right attitude. She goes, well, at least the dog didn't chew my face off. That's a good point. You know, I mean, well, you know, at least she didn't really get attacked by the dog. And she's a big dog lover. She wasn't, you know, I mean, she realized that the dog got out, it got out of the fence. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a car. It could be just
any
a dog or a squirrel could jump in your spoke or something. And there's always a chance that you're going to take. The risks are usually they don't turn out real well for you if it's you versus a car. And a lot of motorists don't understand the pace and speed that bikes can go and are going. You know, 17 to 25 miles per hour, somewhere in that range is where a lot of people ride. You know, or let's say 14 to 25. Let's just make that a little bit bigger. You know, you can cover a lot more ground than you think at, let's say, 18 miles an hour. And a lot of times, you know, motorists will pass you and then turn their turn signal on and they turn right and they literally will turn right in front of you and you can T-bone their vehicle. It never turns out well for you. So if everybody had to ride, if they literally had everybody ride to work day where nobody was allowed to drive a car, or maybe they put the cyclists in the cars and let us drive the cars and let them ride once, they would kind of see what we deal with.
Right.
Because I think you really never know what it's like until you're in it. And when you're in it, you get it and you start to understand it. But it's one of those things where I think, you know, we've grown more in that commuter world. We've grown more in the cycling world. More and more people are doing it in our town. And I think it's wonderful. And they looked at the whole state. They just didn't look at Louisville. You know, I can speak from a lot of instances throughout our state and throughout Louisville that just, and I hear the stories every day, it's just, it's not a good deal right now. It's frustrating. It's frustrating at best. So
when I was growing up, I was a good kid, and the only time my mother ever hit me, she did it with her car. And I was on my bike, and it's, I think I told you the last time I was on a bike, I hit a car, a dog, and a pole.
Right.
But the time before that, I was a teenager, and she hit me with her car. She came flying after me. It was one of those, I was the good kid, finally had enough, and I was running away. I wasn't really running away. I was riding the 10 speed away, and we lived on a gravel road, and she pulled on the brakes and ended up just slamming me.
Right.
And it was one of those moments, though, now that, you know, bikers are just so at the forefront of what people are talking about. My mom didn't hit me on purpose. I mean, she's screaming bloody murder that, you know, she'd killed her baby, and it was the only time I've ever dropped the Queen Mother.
Right.
At that moment, I dropped the word.
Nice.
Because I had the opportunity to as I'm picking gravel out. But those things happen. I mean, it wasn't intentional.
Right.
You know, and I wonder, how do we educate people? I mean, safe distance and, you know, different terrain. If you are on a dirt road as opposed to, you know, pavement or in the rain. Mm-hmm. I mean, just how do we continue to educate people on being safe for the benefit of bikers?
Well, I mean, you know, let's just go outside the realm of cycling. I mean, I think it boils down to we live in a very selfish, self-absorbed, narcissistic society.
Sure.
I mean, it's that simple. And my day is more important than your day.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to get somewhere more importantly than you. I mean, I just need to be there faster than you. And it doesn't matter where you're going. Watch people drive on the interstate where there's no cyclists allowed.
Yeah.
They don't follow a 2-second rule.
Right.
They don't follow any kind of rule.
Right.
It could be pouring down rain and they're, you know, drafting behind a semi. So I think that's the issue is you can talk about it all day long, and you can, you know, build, you know, cycling lanes on the side of the road. And, you know, I've tried to ride in the cycling lanes and half the time they got tons of debris in them because you just can't ride in those because there's not enough traffic in those lanes to keep that debris out. And, you know, the city doesn't go down and brush those lanes out for us. So they're hard to ride in. So then you're back out on the road. Just a lot of issues. And so how do you continue to educate? Well, you continue to talk about it, continue to push it. But until until the police get behind that and they start citing people and ticketing people, you know, for that, then I don't think anything's ever going to change.
Which is unfortunate. Well, I'll tell you, I am absolutely encouraging our listeners to look up this woman in Danville, Kentucky.
I believe
Kentucky,
it's in Danville. Yes. Just look
up. That's big.
It is. It's a big thing. It kind of started to hit national news. I'll be honest, we were so busy with Derby stuff and around the shop, I didn't get a chance to really kind of sink my teeth into it and really see what was going on. But, you know, she has a right to be there. She has a right to get to work. And you know, to take that away from her, unless somebody's going to pay her salary to sit at home, you know, and do nothing. But she's trying to support her family. So I think it's you definitely have to – I'm on her side with this one.
Well, thanks for listening. I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, which you can always check out online at VO2-Multisport.com or stop by 131 St. Matthews Avenue in Louisville. Get fit, Louisville.